It's time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, roving, roaming. Yeah, that's it for now. Reporter, what's going on out there, Ruth?
Well, we had two town meetings this week that ended in no decisions. It was an interesting time. In North Canaan, they held a meeting to renew the state, the resident troopers contract, which went through without any controversy. The big issue in Canaan has been the changing of from elected to appointed officials in three offices. There are three vacancies in the town hall, the town clerk, the tax collector, and the treasurer. And the Board of Selectmen proposed to go from 2-year elected to 4-year appointed terms. Well, they had it hit a nerve. It brought out 150 people, which really for North Canaan, they were out to the parking lot. It was very interesting. And there were obviously lots of comments. The two members of the Board of Selectmen, Brian Orlo, the first selectman, and Craig Whiting, the selectman, were in favor of it, but Jesse Bunce, the third selectman, spoke out against it. There were several concerns.
If I may, right quick, what was Jesse's reason to go against it? Did it get stated clearly?
Yeah, he said it was way too fast. People didn't have a chance to really understand the whole thing. That was the theme throughout, for the most part. The idea was brought up at the selectmen's meeting earlier this month and quickly put on a town meeting agenda, and people felt they just didn't have enough time. There were also, Bruce Zinke got up, and he was really impassioned and said, you know, you're taking away our rights to vote that our forefathers fought for. And there were other people. Jeff Drury spoke at length, the attorney, against it. After an hour or so of debate, Brian Oler made a motion to table it, and so that passed, and the selectmen are going to go back, and they may, Brian said they may put it on the November ballot.
Are they going to maybe have a public hearing to try and explain further for those who didn't catch on?
They might. But,
yeah.
So basically, they have not. They've just tabled it, and they're going to address
it. At this point, But you know, the tax bills went out. Jennifer Jackier, who's the tax collector up until today, got the tax bills out. It's going to be interesting. They have to be processed, and the money starts coming in. I think Brian said he's going to. He's contacted the Tax Collectors Association and some other local tax collectors who maybe will pitch in. He said the one candidate who was interested doesn't want to take the job on an interim basis until November. So, if it had been made appointed, that person would have agreed, but. Not so.
Now this takes changing an ordinance, does it not?
It's correct. That's what they were voting on, an ordinance.
So they deemed not to change it by going to town meeting and voting that way, but maybe rather putting it in a quote referendum, which would actually occur in November during the normal municipal election.
Yeah, well, the vote last Monday was to approve the ordinance.
Right.
Yeah. Now it would be to approve an ordinance on the ballot that
right.
would allow for a change.
Okay, so for those of us in the back, and I include myself in there, what was not there some talk, and it might have been from you, Ruth, or from you, Mike, that certain towns split. I thought that possibly our tax collector in Falls Village helped out some. someplace, and I don't know where I got that idea.
Yeah, no, we talked about how some of the smaller towns actually split these services and contract out to these specific, you know, the whole idea here is the job has become a professional job, and you don't go out and hire a plumber to be your tax collector. Not that I don't like plumbers, but, you know, that's not their specialty, is filtering their way through state law, changes, local ordinances, fulfilling all the requirements and paperwork, on and on. Same with town clerks and all. It's basically a professional position that they have to become educated for, and everyone is switched, basically, because this just makes life easier. In most cases, I think they hire them. And I'm not so sure. They may have a contract for a certain period of years to just freshen it up here and there. But, you know, they just become any regular employee, like a teacher or a custodian or any of that, because they need somebody who's aimed right at this job.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work, Ruth?
Mm-hmm. There's also, was brought out, people are feeling that their power, their electoral power is being taken away. So put it just in the hands of the selectmen.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of look at it like you hire a town crew and things like that. Nobody's, well, I can't argue that they're not taking away your voting capability, but, you know, to vote somebody in who may not be qualified, or, as you mentioned at one point, sometimes a popularity contest,
right, but
isn't frugal for the town or anybody.
All agree, and again, from the back, all I'm going to say is presumably you could put... Presumably, if someone were willing to, let's call it, run. Is this one of the last towns that isn't appointed?
Depends which office.
I'm talking about the tax collector.
Tax collector.
Yes.
It's elected here in Kent.
Well, the three main ones that have switched over the years have been town clerk, tax collector, and treasurer.
And assessor.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, again, they're all professional jobs.
But what I'm wondering is if you ran for it, let's just say, yeah, I would. I'm going to run for it. Presumably, possibly, there are people in the town who have the qualifications to do it?
Well, yeah, but you'd have to specify in your ordinance that if you're running for it, you can't run for it unless you fill these requirements.
Well, I think nowadays you all have to get certified.
Yeah,
I know. You have to go.
Right. But what I'm saying is,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you could find somebody
who might. You
could
just write it in. It's got to be certified.
Yeah. I mean,
you guys can vote for it, but whoever's running has to. I'm obviously oversimplifying, but you could put in your ordinance the certification requirement, right?
Interestingly enough, Sharon had a meeting this past week too to talk about it. Just an informational meeting, and somebody pointed that out at the Canaan meeting. You know, the Sharon residents are given the opportunity to hear more about it, and why didn't Canaan do that? The main issue here, as I said, was that people felt it was too rushed, and they didn't like that idea.
And no. It was only a few weeks old, so probably.
Yeah, that does sound right, that, you know, putting the process out there where it's transparent all the way through. There probably should have been the open forum where people could have expressed all this.
Right.
Had that explained.
And get it out of their system, because at the end of the day, it's what's best for the town.
Usually the townspeople go with that, P.S., at the end of the day.
Well, it was interesting.
All right. Now that
and we'll have to follow up on the Sharon and see how people react to that.
Now, what were they looking at? Which one or more?
All three.
All three, okay. So
yeah,
they still
have
all three elected. Okay, that's interesting.
Well, they're all vacant, so.
I want to do a survey around the state and see how that works out all over.
I'm trying to think. Sharon is going to look to change. I think they're all elected except for the assessor.
Yeah. Salisbury has changed all of that.
Changed.
They're completely done.
Right. Falls Village went through the town clerk issue.
Yep.
I think the tax collector, not sure if she's elected or not. And Cornwall is all elected. Nope, that's pretty much.
So it's, you know, over the course of the week,
bag.
Maybe I'll do an AI search across the state and see how many towns overall are that
way.
Oh,
I could tell you. They said Brian gave more than half of the tax collectors are appointed and more than a third of town clerks, I believe he said.
Okay, so it's still not a totally accepted process
right.
then.
Right. So then we come down to Kent. Friday night, there was a meeting, a town meeting called to on this banning of weight crafts at Lake Warmog. Now, as I've said before, the towns, three towns surround that lake, Warren, Washington, and Kent. And there is the authority, the Lake Warmog Authority, that sort of oversees what goes on. And so there was a group who want to ban these, as you described it, Michael, you know, they make waves. they're crafts that stir up the water, from what I gather, to make...
Yeah, they have them at some of the water parks and stuff. It's just however it works. I don't know whether it's swishing and swooshing, but it makes a big wave. Some
makes
of them...
Makes waves to, I guess...
Surf.
To make it more... Skiing more...
Or
I don't know.
Aura, I
anyway, I had no idea of the interest that this brought out. There must have been 250 people out there.
Wow.
The line was out the door. You couldn't, I mean, it was unbelievable. Everybody was just amazed. And so finally, as you can imagine, the fire marshal said, no more people allowed in. You couldn't squeeze another person in. They were still way out the door when the room was filled. And so Selectman Marty Lindemeyer came out and said, okay, we're canceling this. And people had to go home. they are meeting. The selectmen will meet tonight in a meeting, and I think maybe they're leaning towards a referendum on this one.
So they're not going to find a bigger meeting place?
Boat.
It's amazing sometimes how many town halls, and I'm not sure about the city halls, are inadequate to hold a big meeting.
You have to go to the school here.
I believe FM is weighing in as well. Everyone got used to, I don't want to know, call them the good old days, where three people showed up. Remember those budget meetings in the, for example, the Region 1 budget?
Oh, Region 1,
well,
yeah.
Region 1, that's still the
there's
way.
Nothing hot there, nobody cares. But
yeah, but
like
every so often you get something hot.
Salisbury
well,
has
that was
their,
years ago.
Has,
and it's been...
I'm just saying, in life, every so often you get something hot.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was really... I have no idea, but the wave... Clearly... We had two meetings in the last week, which I think is kind of interesting, or last couple of weeks, which is kind of interesting that suddenly we're jammed to capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Past capacity.
Actually, it's nice to see. I mean, I was flabbergasted, I will tell you, about the Kent meeting, because I came and thought, okay, you know, I'm sure to get a parking space. Well, they were parking on Main Street. I mean, it was, and they just kept coming and coming, and people I've never seen out at a meeting before were there.
Wow.
Now, granted, there were some other things on the agenda about the fire marshal and some of the rules, but the main reason was the ban, and getting an inkling of people online, it appeared that most were for the ban. It's going to be very interesting.
Now,
there was one exchange between one hot and one man who wanted to vote, but he was part of a trust and explicitly said in the warning, only individuals, no trusts, could vote on this. There was, as I said, a heated exchange in the parking lot. But other than that, people just said, oh, well, it was nice to come out for the evening and go home.
Now, does Kent offer the virtual end to a town meeting right now or no?
No. in person only.
No, okay.
I think Salisbury is the only one that I know.
Yeah, Salisbury, and oddly enough, Salisbury has the go-to place, the Congregational Church, when our meetings get beyond the 200 and some capacity, which every now and then that happens over there.
Yes, yep, been to many of those. Yeah, yep.
Definitely fill the place to the roof. But
yeah, Kent would have to either go to the school or the community house. And
you could have it out in the parking lot.
Well, there was talk about that. Just hand out the ballots, they said.
Yeah, bring a PA system and a bullhorn in and say, here, let's have it outside.
They talked about that. I must say it was an interesting evening. So.
Well, another unexpected adventure in your roving and roaming.
Exactly. I really was floored. Tonight we have the next session of Tuesdays at 7 at the Falls Village Meeting House.
Yeah.
Peter Vermillier, who we all know, a teacher and department chair, history teacher at the high school, is going to be speaking about Litchfield women in the Civil War. Peter is always very entertaining, very informative, and those are free. Donations accepted, and it's a lovely venue, the old meeting house. So this is part of the First Tuesdays at 7 series. They do 4 months out of the year, and so that's tonight. Thursday night is Let Them Eat Cake at the Sharon Historical Society. That's always a fun auction. People bid on cakes that $400 cakes, but it's good for a good cause, and it's always very enjoyable to see what creativity comes out in these bakers. So that's
Thursday, isn't it?
It's 6 to 8, is it? I think 6 to 8.
We can check that, but
it's definitely
Thursday.
Are there fireworks this year?
The only ones I hear coming up will be the ones over North Canaan, and that's down the road a couple of weeks here. I've heard nothing about 4th of July in this area. I don't know across the state line or anything, at this point it seems that...
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, that would be part of the railroad days for the fireworks.
Just as a backup real quick, I had to get to my rap sheet that I did on the cakes. 5:30 to 7.
Oh, good. Okay, 5:30 to 7.
Yeah, because that's when we've been running in the rotation. Let them eat cake. The queen's coming.
Let them eat cake, right? And
I'll eat cake. I love cake.
Well,
right now I don't know whether this is true or not, but
hello.
Apparently, Lime Rock Park will host a fireworks display on July 3rd. It will also feature a track night in America where attendees can drive their streetcars on the track. Fireworks is scheduled for 9:15, but I don't know more about it. I would suggest going to the Lime Rock Park website and seeing.
I'm on their website right now, and I don't see it.
People
should check that out if they're interested in fireworks.
We have neighbors down across
at the parking.
Neighbors down across on Lakeville Lake. I don't know how they do it, but they give off incredible fireworks on the 4th of July, Memorial Day, and Labor Day. I'm assuming they have permits for what they do, and if they don't, I've just ratted them out.
Actually, I think the camps here, the only one left, Children's Camp, does it. Camp Kenmon Kenwood, they have done it in the past. I don't know if they're still doing it. Speaking of Lime Rock, how did the weekend go?
I think they did. I think they did quite well.
Did see the big trucks leaving on Saturday night. Man, we were in Amenia, and there were a cavalcade of trucks leaving. Interesting.
All I know is that I got to explore areas where I hadn't been for a long time.
Yeah, and, lots of detours. Yeah,
and it was as you it was like the your adventure to Sharon Mountain. So it was like, oh wow, this is not my normal route. But it was all back to normal by Sunday.
All right. Guess what, guys?
We're going to...
we've done filled
we're,
up
we're
the...
We're going to have a mystery. We're going to have the mystery
time.
Of the fireworks, and we'll see you afterwards, because it's not going to be...
if we hear...
it any longer, the next time we talk to... But you will know the answer.
If we get verifiable information, we'll put it up on the radio, but I don't know that I can say that yet.
All right, well, we'll both work on it, and... Ruth, enjoy the 4th of July and the fireworks, wherever they may be. And
okay, thank you. You too.
Happy Independence Day. We'll talk to you for the next episode of What's Going On. Oh, it's an episode. Stop that.
Installment. The next installment.
We'll talk to you on the next edition. Come on, guys. The next edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein on Robinhood Radio.